When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
It's 902-1-OMG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
OMG, it's our first episode.
Never did I ever think we would be doing this. We're doing a podcast.
I know.
Oh my God.
30 years
I listen to podcasts all the time, and we're doing one now.
That's so
this one,
fun.
You guys, it's a really important podcast.
We're going to be watching every episode of Beverly Hills 90210 from start to finish with all of you.
Yeah.
And
when I say
knows.
Important, I mean for us, because we've never watched these shows together since it started. I've never watched an episode with you.
No, I've never watched an episode, period. So I'm really excited.
She's not kidding.
I'm excited to get to see what we actually did.
Okay, I'm going to give you a little preview, a little spoiler alert. You made meaningful television.
Oh, thanks. So did you, babe.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, babe.
We're not going to do this alone, though. We have a very special guest.
Da, dun, da. A fellow
you
mama.
You may know her from Ryan Seacrest's radio show, but you may not know that she is a 90210 superfan. Sissany.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Sissany.
When I first met you, Jenny, she said, I'm going to have a hard time with your name because I can't do S's.
There's so many S's in your name.
And then she proceeded to tell me that she couldn't say your name. She would never say your name. And I'm like, well, that's going to be a problem because the three of us are doing this podcast.
You just did it.
I've been working on it.
She low-talked it. Say it loud and proud. What is her name? Say your name.
Sissany.
Well, Ryan calls you sis, so I guess we could call you
sis. I said that to Jenny, and she was like, that's harder. And I was like, well, I don't know what to tell
it's
you.
It's just as many S's.
How do you say my last name, Jenny Garth?
Spelling.
Okay. Well, that wasn't hard.
Okay. Well, I'm really glad that you're with us, sis, because you're going to help jog my memory, because I have a really hard time remembering all that went on. But I think as we go through and we watch the episodes, maybe it'll start coming back to me.
I think no matter what, you guys will have the better memory than even me as a super fan. But, you know, we'll go episode per episode. And I just want to be a fly on the wall. But then I also want to just ask the question that, like, all the fans have.
Well, not only that, like, we have 10 years of all this goodness that people saw on camera, but along the way, we're going to tell you what happened off camera during each episode.
And you remember everything, so we're...
Details, we're, sister.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with sis, which is Sissany.
Because we haven't even started yet, so this is episode one of this podcast, and we haven't, I guess, done our homework and watched episode one of 90210.
No.
Why don't we start, Tori and Jenny, explaining how you guys even got the roles of Kelly and Donna?
I just told you I have a bad memory, and you start out with that question.
Okay, cool. Who called you first? Was it an agent? Did you audition? Like, give me something.
I auditioned, and I think what happened was the casting director didn't think I was right for the role, so they didn't bring me back in. And then my manager went to his friend that was casting for Spelling and said, can you see her? Can you bring her in? And they brought me back in. And then I got the part. I mean, it was so, I don't even know. That's crazy, right?
Oh my gosh. Stories like that happen all the time. Imagine if it never went any further. Like, who could have played Kelly Taylor?
Yeah.
I mean, I could have stepped in if you couldn't have done it, but you know.
No, but I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that my manager was persistent and, you know, went back and got me the part.
Who were you up against when you screen tested?
I screen tested?
Well, I assume. I assume you had to go
know.
Test for the...
Really?
I don't remember. No. I remember because I was, you know, behind the scenes. And my dad, since I was the same age and going through it at the same time that the characters... And my dad was always very hands-on, so... Every night he would come back in his briefcase. I would like click it open, like click, click, and be like, oh, here's the script. And he would have like notes from the day and like Polaroid photos of everything. Once we went a little further and there was like hairstyles and wardrobe and everything. But yeah, I don't remember the story with you. Like that's like I remember hearing him talk about, you know, casting Brenda and Brandon, but not Kelly. So that one I wasn't privy to.
When were you casted?
So I saw the script and I called my agent and I was like, I want to audition for this. But like, I really, like, I don't want my dad to give me a role like he always does. Like, I actually, this is my jam. Like, this is me, like, and my friends. Like, I get this. Like, I can do this. Can I go in and audition? I had been on Saved by the Bell. So I was like, I got this acting thing. Yeah. And she was like, well, you know, they're going to know who you are. And I was like, no, you should tell them I'm coming in under a different name. So I made up a name, Tori Mitchell.
Come on.
Which was bizarre because I had just seen it. My dad did a movie of the week called, I'm going to blank. Anyway, it was, oh my God, wait. Jackie Collins novel, Hollywood Wives. And I believe it was the character that Heather Locklear played in it. Possibly not correct, but she was like his lucky actor, lucky penny. So he put her in a lot of things. So anyway, I went, I'm like, I don't want them to know it's me coming in. So let me do a different Tori, but let me do a character in one of my dad's shows. Like, it didn't make any sense. And I went in, read for Kelly.
You read for the part of Kelly?
I did. Because there was no Donna at the time. I think Donna was like friend number one or something in the script. Like,
right,
I would
right.
have, if I had gone in and auditioned for Donna, it would have been like, hi, Brenda. And they'd be like, nailed it. Like, no, like there was, you know, so they just had everyone come in and read for the main parts.
Ah. Oh, what if you'd been Kelly and I was Donna? What would happen?
Because I could never, I'm not a Kelly. I could never have been a Kelly.
Yeah, you're a Donna.
I am
for
Donna.
Sure.
I couldn't imagine it either. Did you? So you, this is the first time you guys are hearing each other's audition stories after the 30-something years you've been friends.
No, she's heard mine.
I've heard everything she has
versions
to say.
Of it.
Now, do you remember meeting each other for the first time?
No.
Ish.
You remember? She remember everything. I do not remember meeting you. Or any of the cast. I've got no recollection of it.
So they cast everyone. my dad decides on a Sunday morning to have, before they started filming, to have everyone meet for the first time and have a read through. He did it at his house, which was not the manor. It was the house we lived in before. So he had, you know, bagels and drinks out, and he had the cast come over and get to know each other and do a read through, informal. And he said, do you want to be a part of it? And I was like, no, that would be weird. Because at the time, I wasn't a series regular. I was friend number one, and they gave me the name Donna because I was the producer's daughter. And they're like, okay, she's Donna now. Add a couple more lines. And I said I didn't want to be a part of it because that felt weird. Why would I wasn't a main character. But I was. We had a two-story house, and the staircase overlooked and went right into the foyer. So I literally watched you from the top. I peeked through. I watched you walk through. I watched every single person walk through. I feel like Jason and Gabrielle arrived together, or Ian and Gabrielle arrived together. That's right.
I remember that kind of. I kind of remember like a big living room. And I kind of remember something on the table, like a bowl full of cigarettes.
A bowl of cigarettes?
She is accurate.
Bowl full of cigarettes.
They did the read-through in my parents' projection room, which is like, was enormous, probably like the size of my current house. And it was a big room that looked like a living room. And then the art would go up on the wall and you could see the projection through it. And then a screen would come down. So by day it was a living room. By weekend night it was a projection room. And my mom had this thing where she would keep bowls out on tables of candies, little chocolate, Hershey's Kisses, and little bars, and cigarettes, because she smoked at the time.
Because that goes together. Candy and cigarettes.
Sure.
But it did.
Luckily, I didn't smoke.
Seriously, as a teenager, my friends would come over at like 16 and be like, is this a joke? And they'd be like, I'd be like, you can't touch it. And they'd be like, are you tempted to eat the candy, to like sneak off, smoke the cigarettes? And I never was, because I was like, well, it's here every day. It's like my everyday life. So I didn't touch it.
You weren't tempted by it at all.
No.
So, okay, the cast comes over. They're all sitting down in the smoky room. Did you eventually come down?
I never came down. I wasn't a part of it.
Stalker.
So who'd you think was cute?
Yeah. So now does your memory... Jenny, it's so hard to not call you guys Kelly and Donna, by the way. I'm like sitting here staring at you.
We're so used to it.
Okay. So Jenny.
May respond to any name.
Okay. Do you remember sitting down? Who you sat next to? Who did you think was cute at first?
I do remember just being really nervous. And I was young and super green. I hadn't done that much acting. And I just remember being really nervous. And in my own head, you know, and and like it was kind of surreal, like this room is happening. This is happening right now. But that's pretty much all I remember.
Did you have your lines highlighted? Did you have notes in your script?
Knowing me, I had a binder with the scene dividers and my highlighter, my pen protector.
She's an undercover nerd.
Yeah. And how do you guys mind saying how old you guys were when the show kicked off?
Was I 16? I drove there, so I must have been 16. 17?
When we did the pilot. Yeah. You were 16 when the pilot. By the time we went on the air and started filming the series. Yeah. So I was 15, you were 16. Just making reference again that she's 1 year older.
Yeah, we all know. We all know. I am a year older.
By the way, you guys, this happens on a monthly basis that she'll ask me how old she is. She doesn't remember her age.
That's true.
I'm not kidding. Remember. She ages herself up. Remember a couple years ago, you said you were 2 years older? And I'm like, no, you're not.
I stopped doing that. It's the numbers are getting too high that I don't go up anymore.
You're like, this affects me when you do that.
She forgets. Yeah, because then it ages me. So no.
Okay, so you meet. Tori did not come downstairs because she was too scared or embarrassed or whatever it was. Now you get to the set for the first time to actually start shooting. Is it in Beverly Hills? Like where did you guys drive to? Where'd you go?
The first set was, I think, the high school. And we shot that at Torrance High School, which is deep in the heart of Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's south. It's almost Orange County.
Yeah, it was far.
It was so far. I had never driven that far. And I...
You've never driven anywhere out of Beverly Hills, let's be truthful.
I mean, I would like to clarify that, Jennifer Eve. I lived in Bel Air, not Beverly Hills.
Oh, sorry.
What about you, Jenny? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in rural Illinois, like on a farm way, way out in the country. Yeah, quite different than the character, actually, that I was playing.
So then you moved out here at a pretty young age.
Yeah, I came out here when I was 15 or 16.
To pursue acting?
Here's the thing. I was in a dancing pageant. Please don't ever find that video. And one of the
now we're
judges.
We're going to find that because you said that. Wait. No. I love the story. Excuse me, we're filming a podcast. Sorry. Wait, tell the story of how you used to put Vaseline on your teeth for the pageant. I love that story. I've remembered it for 30 years. I was fascinated.
Yeah. Well, you love this story because you love giving me shit about my giant teeth. Okay. Well, I used
Wait,
to
Wait, what's
a
our famous thing like when we're somewhere?
Oh, my God. I'm trying to tell a story.
Okay. Go ahead.
I used to be.
So remember how when we're like. So we have this thing where what tension breaker has to be done like an elevator. If we're stressed, I'll look over and I just see teeth and I'm like, put those teeth away. And then she says,
put that face away.
And I'm like, fair. That was a fair assessment. Good point.
No, I love your face.
So what's the Vaseline story? Was that it?
There's probably a lot of Vaseline stories, but the one I have is every dancer did that, put Vaseline on their teeth or like in their gums to make so you could smile longer at the pageant and your lips would like glide over your ginormous teeth. That was the hope anyway. But anyway, so yeah, I was in a dancing pageant and one of the judges was Randall C. James and he said to me, my wife and I think you have something special. Come into this room and see if you can act. No, but
I was like,
did,
what?
It was very weird. But my mom and I met with them and then we decided to start taking acting classes where I was living in Arizona at the time. And I started taking acting classes and sending him the tapes of like my progress. And eventually it was time to just move to LA. And so my mom and I packed our bags and drove from Phoenix to LA and rented a little apartment. And I started auditioning. And I was like, a knock, knock on Randy James's door. Hi, I'm here. Now what?
Wow.
The funny thing is I saw you and I'm blanking out. Barbara Eden. What was the show?
A Brand New Life.
A Brand New Life. Mm-hmm. And I thought.
Sorry, I'm just having a drink of wine.
Cheers, I love you.
Oh, you have some now. Good.
Sis. Really
quenches the thirst.
Sis.
I didn't have time to go get a glass of wine.
Okay. Next time we're having mom juice all
together. Next time we need to plan ahead.
So I watched her in A Brand New Life on NBC before this show. So when she did get the part, I knew who she was.
Oh.
And I loved that show. And I thought you were so adorable and beautiful and had the biggest teeth I'd ever seen. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Love at first teeth.
Oh, my God. I'm going to kill you.
So, okay. You guys don't really remember meeting each other per se. But do you remember any of the other cast members? First time meeting Luke. First time meeting Jason.
So, Luke wasn't in the pilot.
Right.
It was just all of us. Mm-hmm. The only person I remember meeting is Brian.
Oh, geez.
Shocker.
That's very telling.
I know.
What, you saw like stars and rainbows and what is that?
I did.
You did? You got like the butterflies?
Like, you know, we were the same, like, exact age, and all the boys were older. Well, and Jason was pretending to be older to fit in, and like,
but he was older
a little bit. He's like, what, 3 or 4 years older?
Yeah.
But still, like, you know, he was hanging with Ian and Gabrielle and being cool. And Shannon was kind of in the middle.
Okay.
Like, friends with all of us. And, but I came on set and Brian and I both had to go to school. So we had to.
Is that what you call it?
Call it what?
Is that what you call it? School.
No, we had, we were, you, I don't know, you were a special breed. You didn't have to do school on
I'm
set.
I'm joking. No,
Brian and I had to do school on set. So we had a school teacher and we would have to go do our schoolwork in between scenes.
And the flirting.
I mean, I've never been so excited to go to school in my whole life.
You bonded over math, geometry.
Yeah.
That's a good story.
So my first memory of Jennifer Eve is Marianne Moore's party.
When you call me Jennifer Eve, do you think people think you're mad at me or...
I don't know.
Nobody calls me Jennifer Eve.
I know.
But
it's
you.
My favorite thing in life is to call her by her full name because I love her name so much. And it just, I don't know. And she'll be like mad about it, but I see the little like smile. So I know that she loves that I call her that deep down.
I do.
And I love when she tries to say my middle name. She's known me for 30 years and she gets it wrong every time. No, it's
How
not
did
Victoria
I know you were
Davis.
Ask me this.
It's not Victoria
okay,
Davis.
Then I know what it is. It's Victoria David.
I hate you. I like this.
Dave. No, it's not. Okay. Let's just
She's
come
not
back
even
to that.
Kidding right
remember.
Now.
Davy.
Like Davy. Davy Crockett. That's what my dad used to say.
Victoria Davies. Frontier.
That's interesting. That's right. And then there was David Silver on the show. And I guess your dad really does love that name somehow. Any origin.
So it was his dad's name.
Ah.
So that's why they didn't want to put David in my middle name because I'm a girl. So it was Davy.
Davy. I'm never going to forget it now.
Victoria Davy.
Yeah. Next time you ask me, I'm going to remember.
She says that every time. Lost 20 years.
Wow. You aren't kidding with your memory.
Oh. Why would I joke about that? I can't remember. It's not fun.
Be like, what's my full name? She'll be like Viola Davis. She'll have no idea. It's Victoria Davy.
The vicinity, you know, like I got one of them right. So, okay, let's go.
Go ahead. Tell your story.
Oh, so I remember my first memory of you.
Oh, yeah.
Marianne Moore's party. So in the pilot, there was a popular girl.
We call her Lips.
That.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. She has the most beautiful lips we'd ever seen.
The best lips we'd ever seen.
Yeah, I'd never seen lips like that before. And they were just mesmerizing.
Nowadays, they're a dime a dozen because girls get their lips done. But this girl had good lips, the kind you want,
yeah.
Like the kind girls get done. Like you would carry in a picture and be like, I want these lips. Give me the filler. But they were just so yummy. So
yeah. So
I think you called her Lips McGee.
You called her Lips McGee. Lips McGee. No, that was you.
So you bonded over Lips McGee.
She was the popular girl. Everyone was invited to her party. And it was a big scene that was filmed at, some big mansion in the Hollywood Hills. And it was the first time we filmed like an all-nighter because it was a night. So we started at night. We didn't wrap till the sun came up.
That used to be so fun, by the way.
That was so fun when we were young, right? We're like, oh, this is so cool. Like, I got to stay out all night.
Stay up all night.
And I remember the scene specifically because it was a three shot of you, me, and Shannon. And we were standing there, like, watching the party. I'm sure we can find the clip. I don't remember. But I just remember the three of us off camera had so much fun and we all laughed. And that was the first time we were all like, oh, wow, this could all be a real friendship. And it was really fun.
Aw. It must be nice that you remember that.
Yeah.
And you got nothing, Jenny. Like, you don't remember that at all.
No, I remember only because I've seen a picture of it. I've seen
that photo?
Like a clip of that exact scene, what you're talking about. But I don't remember being there.
When do you remember me? like
what, the first time? That's a tricky question. If I see pictures, it reminds me, and then it kind of jogs something, and I don't know if I'm remembering it or if I'm just seeing the picture and thinking I remember it. I don't know how the brain works, but
remember the wrap party for the pilot?
I think I remember that.
Hold that thought. We have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Your skin is glowing. Something you want to share with me?
Oh, you know what? There is. I have been using this little at-home beauty device called the Zip.
Talk to me about it.
It is amazing. It's connected to an app that you download on your phone. And it's like having your own facialist in your living room with you or in your bedroom with you. And she walks you through on the app how to do it. You know what? Melanie is the creator of this amazing thing. And we have her on the line. I want to hear from Melanie all about this
Melanie,
magic little thing.
Okay, so I'm out of town. When I get home, I am trying this Zip. But tell me now.
I'll be the esthetician with you in the bathroom.
I feel like I know you.
That is such a cool concept.
I love that, and I love when people say they feel like they know me because they're so used to the videos. They watch them so often when they're zipping.
Right. How does it work?
I'm an electrical esthetician. I made that up. I have a wall of devices. It's a treatment. I come and, you know, like, let's say prep you for the red carpet. It's this whole ordeal. And I always wanted to bring this to the world. But it had to be in a modern way, and I had to do it through an app where you could actually choose the treatment you want for the outcome you want. So let's say, like, you really want Donna's big doe eyes. You can go onto the app, click the Vitalize treatment, and it'll be a treatment that's all about depuffing, waking up the eyes, brightening the eyes. Yes.
I did that one today. I did the depuffer today because I had a bad dream, and I woke up and I thought, oh, I'm going to be puffy for my first podcast. And I used that one.
Jen, it's been real. It's been great being best friends for 30 years, but I'm going to have to upgrade to Melanie. I'm sorry. My skin's a priority.
Fine. There's endless things that you can do.
Well, thanks to you, we have a special discount code for our listeners.
Oh, yes.
So excited for you guys. This is so exciting. If you use the code 90210, you'll get 20% off site-wide at zipbeauty.com. That's Zip with two I's.
Perfect.
Melanie, that is major. Oh my gosh. 20% off, you guys. Do it.
Do it.
Your skin will love you.
Want to temporarily restore definition in your jawline where it's been lost over time? With Juvederm Volux XC, you can get a non-surgical jawline treatment that adds volume for a smooth contour and to reduce the appearance of jowls in one in-office treatment with little downtime. Juvederm Volux XC injectable gel is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey, everyone. So as you can imagine, we know a thing or two about makeup. We've pretty much tried it all.
And we are really liking Thrive Cosmetics because they have a full line of makeup perfect for an everyday look refresh.
They have clean ingredients that feel great on your skin. And their products are foolproof, which makes it easy for any skill level to apply.
And it's really cool to know that Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive.
Oh, I love that connection. See that? Plus, how cool is it that their high-performance formulas are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free?
Amazing. And they have zero parabens, sulfates, and phthalates.
I really believe when it comes to makeup, beautiful eyebrows are so important. Don't you think? Their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner helps you achieve your ideal eyebrow look.
And their easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder.
Ooh la la. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back.
Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/90210.
That's Thrive Cosmetics. CAUSEMETICS.com/90210 for 10% off your first order.
Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the 90s Cruise. 5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interactions, and all-out 90s events and activities.
Over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, Color Me Bad, Lisa Loeb, Fastball, CNC Music Factory, Jesus Jones, Digital Underground, Sophie B. Hawkins, and more. Hosted by MTV DJs, Downtown Julie Brown, Matt Pinfield, and Lisa Loeb.
Taking place January 31st through February 5th, 2025 on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas, which will be completely transformed to take you back in time for a nonstop 90s action. The 90s cruise will sail from Tampa and head to amazing stops in Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico.
Head to the90scruise.com to book your cabin.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So this is jumping ahead, but we filmed the pilot and then we had a wrap party and we didn't know if it was going to get picked up or what was going to happen. And I was totally like in the pilot crushing on Brian, and we had school together and he used to tease me, and I call it quote unquote pulling my pigtails because he would like get under my skin. I'd be like, oh my God. But then I was forming friendships with Jenny and Shannon, and we were having all this girl bonding. And I just remember the wrap party, Brian was like, do you want to go to the wrap party together? And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. Well, Shannon invited me to the wrap party, so we'll all go together. And then he flaked on me. And Shannon and
Wait, he stood you up? He just didn't show up to take you?
I don't remember. I just remember he was like, I'll call you, we'll go together, like all of us. It was like, and then it just didn't happen. And then Shannon and I got blowouts in Beverly Hills. We got dressed at my parents at the manor, because we were now at the manor at this point. And then we went to Spago. The wrap party was at Spago. Do you remember this? Spago.
I thought it was called Chasen's.
That was a different, and that's going to be a different story.
Oh, crap.
Oh, yeah. So there's going to be a running theme here with pukes, but hold on. We're getting ahead of ourselves. So it was at Spago. And Spago, Wolfgang Puck, Beverly Hills, infamous Hollywood Beverly Hills iconic restaurant. Famous for one of their dishes, famous for their spaghetti. So, yeah. So So they had little things of spaghetti. I got to the party and I drank. And I don't know how I got drinks because I was 16. But somehow I snuck drinks at the party, at the wrap party. I saw Brian. He was like, oh, hey, what's up? Because, you know, he probably was like, oh, whatever, we're cool. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, totally.
So then I snuck drinks after I'd eaten the spaghetti. And I just remember the next thing I knew, I was in the bathroom with Shannon and Tony Shepard, our casting director. And I was puking my guts out. And I just remember him being like, did she have noodles? And Shannon's like, yeah. She did. Not enough, clearly. Oh, didn't absorb.
This is really going.
I then came home.
Road.
I got grounded. I was grounded for a month because I came home and he had to, like, Shannon and Tony had to be like, sorry, your daughter drank. We're not sure how she got the alcohol. It's like when you drink at a bar mitzvah. Like, no one knows. yeah, I came home and my mom was furious that I drank and I was grounded for a month. Super cool.
Well, I'm glad that they grounded you because,
yeah,
you know, at least they were
only fair.
Watching out for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is actually nice to hear that you still were like a normal kid and got in trouble mm-hmm. and didn't get away with everything.
We were only on the pilot.
That was just the first.
It was just first the first. Mm-hmm. Things hadn't taken off yet.
What else happened at this party?
I don't remember anything.
It's the only memory because, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, yeah.
So when you have, I don't know much about TV wrap parties or anything like that, but like I guess when you film a pilot, it's common to have a celebratory party just in
yeah.
case.
Yeah,
a wrap party, that's what they call it. A wrap party,
it's a wrap, done.
How long did it take you? Yeah. I get with that, I got that much. How long did it take you guys to film the pilot?
I don't remember.
I think 2 weeks probably. I'll go with that. Yeah,
so are you guys feeling good about it? Did you have any idea it would blow up into the monster that it became?
We didn't. We were just kids having fun doing what we were told to do. Literally, they told us what to do from the moment our eyes opened to the moment we went to sleep, practically. What to eat, where to go, when to go to the bathroom, what to wear, what to say. I mean, wrap your head around that. That's a whole nother discussion. But we didn't know what we were getting into, and we had no idea that it would be successful at that point. No.
When do you guys start filming? So if it gets picked up, then you guys you end up starting to film the next episodes, or do you don't do that until someone mm-hmm. picks it up?
Yes, Fox picked it up, and I think there was like a couple of months break, and then we all got back together and started on episode one.
Yeah.
How do you keep the love relationships off set versus on set? Like, how do you, like, you're teenagers, like your hormones are probably going crazy. When I was 16, I had a crush on everybody. So how did you guys control? How are you professional, I guess, is my point.
I don't know.
We didn't know any different.
Or
different.
Were you not?
I think we were all just really, we were all very prideful of doing our jobs. Like, we wanted to be good at what we were doing, each one of us in our own individual ways. And we also wanted to support one another as an ensemble. And we didn't even know we were doing that, but that's what we were doing, originating that bond.
It's true.
And we were sequestered in this really not very nice sound studio in Van Nuys, California. And we all had dressing rooms, like, in a row. And they were just, you could hear everything that was going on in the dressing room next to you.
Not even in a row.
On top of each other.
It was like, not an alcove. It was like a, what's the word?
Like a circle? Like a U shaped like a.
What would that be? It was almost like a little apartment, mini apartment building where, like, you're just like all these little, tiny little rooms, but you're all in this. No.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what I'm talking about.
I just remember my dressing room was right by the bathroom. So I just kept hearing the toilet flush all day.
But she's so professional, she never even asked to be moved.
No, why would I? I like the sound of toilets.
You were around the corner.
Yeah, I was far away from you guys. Maybe they did that for a reason.
Oh, separate the girls?
I don't know.
Like, was there cattiness at the beginning?
I mean, no, I don't recall cattiness. In general, I don't think any of us had those intentions really, or that even that, you know,
or the know-how to even.
Right.
Yeah.
We were just like, yay. Okay. So what's your call time? What's my call time? Yeah. But it all sort of went to hell after that. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I think it's going to be bittersweet to relive all these memories because it was a roller coaster, I'm assuming, right?
I hate roller coasters.
Oh, you hate them? No, they're
fine. I do. They terrify me.
A fun one, though.
So let's do this.
An easy one. One that you would find like at Disneyland, not a crazy one.
I like doing things that scare me.
Yeah, it was definitely, we did not know what we were getting into. And the show flew under the radar for the first, I don't even know, few months that we started airing, and nobody was really watching it. Well, Fox wasn't even a major network at that time. Fox was just a very small syndicated affiliate. So not a lot of people were able to watch the show.
Oh my gosh. And there was what? Like Married with Children and The Simpsons and
The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm. Ally McBeal. We know these things because we used to like, that's who they would socialize us with at events.
I was really young.
And came Party of Five.
When the show started, the only reason I really kind of knew about it was because I have an older sister who's 8 years older than I. And then I started watching it at a way too young of an age. I mean, I want to say I was maybe, I don't know, I probably came in on like season two or three and I was 8 or 9. And my parents,
I'm so sorry.
My parents are immigrants. Like they didn't really pay attention to what we were doing as kids. And you know, it was in the early 90s, like to them, like having the television in the house was like the coolest thing ever. So they didn't care. And
so what you're saying is we taught you something.
You guys taught me a lot.
Sorry about that, Mom and Dad.
Oh my gosh. Looking back, I just remember like our music was good.
Our music?
Yeah. Of your genre? Of your age group? Yeah.
Like they had huge songs.
Yeah, we did. We got great musical content on that show. I don't know that people get to see or hear that now because I've heard rumors that
I have too.
Mm-hmm. It's not licensed or something. So when they do play it on Hulu or whatever, it's different music.
Are you saying like later on in the seasons when what was it, Peach Pit After Dark?
Not then. Like even like the infamous Brenda and Dylan car scene where she freaks out because he screams at her. Mulholland Drive. What was the song? Losing My Religion.
Yes, that's what it was.
Right?
J.R.E.M. You're totally right.
Everyone remembered that because, I don't know, as young, like, even though we were on the show, we were also going through the same things off camera because we were the same age. So just remember when you would like watch a movie or watch a show and you associated a song and you'd be like, that could be my love story. That could happen in my life. And you would play it. So everyone listened to that song and thought of Brenda and Dylan. And then like, oh my God, that could happen to me. Like I went through that same thing with Brian. No, I'm just kidding. I was like, that could be me.
All right, well, let's take a break and we will come right back.
Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the 90s Cruise. 5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interactions, and all-out 90s events and activities.
Over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, Color Me Bad, Lisa Loeb, Fastball, CNC Music Factory, Jesus Jones, Digital Underground, Sophie B. Hawkins, and more. Hosted by MTV DJs, Downtown Julie Brown, Matt Pinfield, and Lisa Loeb.
Taking place January 31st through February 5th, 2025 on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas, which will be completely transformed to take you back in time for a nonstop 90s action. The 90s Cruise will sail from Tampa and head to amazing stops in Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico.
Head to the90scruise.com to book your cabin.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
oldest girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by oldest girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so we kind of touched on this earlier, but I saw your post on Instagram, Tori, of Brian Ostergreen and Jenny, and like you kind of were reminiscing in it a little bit, and when you were talking about him pulling your pigtails and the flirting, and I almost didn't want to sound like I didn't know, because like there was no TMZ back then, like there was no like, all you had
Thank
was
goodness.
Like Tiger Beat. Like, what were those magazines? Like,
totally.
You know?
Tiger Beat.
So, yeah. Tiger Beat, that's what it was called. And so I guess I didn't know the gossip per se as a fan. Like, was there an actual relationship between you and Brian Austin Green?
Well, we'll have to get to that because we had 10 years of history. That's all I have to say. And there, you know, we grew up together and. Mm-hmm. There were crushes. There were not crushes. There was many things that happened. But what I can say is it ended up being like a very great, amazing friendship that I cherish. And I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. I have no words. But yeah. Oh, wait. I want to know. Wait, what's... Oh, we're getting ahead. Can I ask you a question?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
You in the turtleneck. Can I ask you a question? So, obviously, you know, everyone was either Kelly and Dylan or Kelly and Brandon. And kind of as a fan, because all my friends and I used to watch it every week. Every Wednesday night, my high school friends would come over and we would watch the episode as if I wasn't in it. It was so weird. But I want to know, like, because everyone dreams of like Kelly and Brandon. Like when you first met Jason, what did you think?
When I first met Jason, I remember thinking he was so handsome, like so mysterious and like moody looking. And he was smoking cigarettes. And like, I thought he was
dreamy.
Everything. Yeah.
Those eyes. They like not even human. Blue eyes.
He has
crystal
those are implants.
Blue eyes. I'd never seen anything in real life like that.
No, he has beautiful eyes.
He does. I forgot he used to smoke. So like the opposite of Brandon, which is so funny.
Yeah, he was rugged. He was like tough guy. Like, yeah. I don't know. I had never really seen anybody like that, I don't think.
Me neither.
He's a cutie.
Yeah, I thought he was too cool for me. I couldn't even talk to him.
I couldn't try.
I didn't even try. I was like, I don't. That's Brandon. He's the lead.
So is that was that it? Like no matter
well,
what,
like,
he was
I just
the lead?
Stuck with Brian because he was my age, you know. Like, and then Jenny and Shannon.
You stayed in your lane.
I stayed in my lane. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. It's interesting that ended up becoming the storyline in the show. So I mean, there's so much more to this that you're not telling us, Tori.
I think it happens. It unfolds as the show kind of unfolds. Our lives together all unfolded, and maybe we'll get to that. Maybe we'll get to that.
Maybe. Oh, no, maybe we will. And that's the gist of like how you know. I mean, as a fan, you have all these like 90210-isms, you know, that are just iconic. Everyone knows what the Peach Pit is.
Yeah. Wonder why they called it a Peach Pit. Like, what was the thinking behind?
I don't know either.
I read this somewhere or heard it, that it was inspired by another landmark restaurant called Apple Pan in LA.
Mm.
Where they had burgers and, yeah. So Apple Pan, they were like, that's iconic. Like, it's kind of the vibe because it's like a diner. So Peach Pit.
Apple Pan, Peach Pit.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like so literal.
Would you guys ever get stopped on the streets by fans that would just like either be mad at your character or?
Yes. I had a lot of people, they always wanted to ask me questions about Brandon or about Dylan, or people were mad at me for breaking up Dylan and Brenda.
Oh my God. I have so many questions about that. Because, I mean, there were definitely like two camps. Like,
mm-hmm.
Like they all love Dylan, but they're like, I want him to be with Brenda or I want him to be with Kelly. I can imagine the Brenda camp was probably pretty pissed.
Yeah, they weren't happy with me.
You know, it was shocking when it all happened. But this is the stuff that we'll dive into, I guess, per episode.
Yep. Hold on.
I feel like we're in the pilot, Steve and Kelly, it was kind of set up that it was going to go that way.
Was it?
Yeah, you guys came back from summer, and yeah. I think that
I had my license by then.
Kelly and Steve were either just broken up or you were going to get back together. That's what it was.
We just broken up.
And that's how it kicks off.
Yeah, we had just broken up. So I think, if I remember correctly, Steve was always trying to get back with Kelly, and Kelly was trying to get away from Steve. But we dipped back a few times here and there. I just remember kissing him once, so we must have gotten back together for a minute.
Wait, is that the story when he made you rehearse and said, oh, you're supposed to rehearse kissing, so come rehearse? How'd that go?
That's the story. I don't know what episode that happened in. Do you?
No, but when we see it, we'll be able to then go back and be like, hey, that's the episode. And then you can tell us all about it.
I will. Okay, I've heard you talk enough for one episode. I need to hear about the show. Let's start watching this thing. I'm so ready to watch it. Are you?
I'm like nervous a little bit because it's bringing up so much of our childhood. Like I'm excited and nervous at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
What about the love scenes? Does that make you guys feel awkward when you watch yourself do the love scenes?
Yeah, that's going to be weird. I mean, but I did so many.
She's, from my viewing experience, a really great technical on-camera kisser. Does that mean anything to you guys? No, because there's some people that you're like, wait, it's on camera. And some people just like do it weird and just mash lips and you're like, no one kisses like that. If you were in the heat of passion, like, you would open your mouth a little bit. Uh-huh. Some people on camera swallow your face and you're like, wow, okay, that doesn't look good. No one wants to see that because that's not pretty on camera. Mm-hmm. And I just remember you were always such a beautiful kisser on camera.
Why, thank you. I'm going to write that on my gravestone.
Beautiful kisser on camera? Yeah. I dare you.
Well, ladies, we have some options because obviously it's available on a lot of platforms. Like on Hulu, you can watch part one and part two of the pilot. And then on Amazon, it's all one episode. So
isn't that weird? Like, why? Yeah, I'll tell you why. The pilot was it was meant to be a movie. It was a 2-hour situation. It was meant to be like a 2-hour special thing. Mm. And then for programming reasons, they cut it in half. I don't have any idea how they just cut it in half because it was written as one thing.
Wait, Jen, what do you mean a movie? Like a movie of the week? Was it a backdoor pilot or is it supposed to be?
I don't really know. I don't know all that stuff, but okay. I remember the director was Tim Hunter, who was at that time a really successful film director. Mm-hmm. And he did such a beautiful job with the pilot.
He did.
But I remember that they said it was supposed to be a 2-hour thing and they cut it. Fox wanted it to be a 2-parter.
So it aired.
Should we watch it as one 90-minute situation or should we watch it?
So did it air originally on Fox in 2 weeks or just one episode, like a long one?
I think it was two weeks.
Whoa.
Half 1 week.
You are blowing my mind.
I think we should watch the complete 90-minute though.
We should.
I feel like we should just go in for the whole pilot episode, yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm game.
All right.
Let's do that. Let's watch the whole thing.
Okay. More lips. More Lip McGee if we watch the whole episode. 90 minutes.
Yay.
Yeah.
I can Marianne watch those Moore. Lips all night.
Beautiful yep. woman.
That's Lip McGee?
Who?
Marianne Moore.
Jen, remember I sent you a picture? Ian and I saw her like 2 years ago.
In real life?
In real life. I sent you a picture. Of us with her.
I don't remember
She was on Head of the Class, you guys. She was famous. Like, what's her name? Oh, my God.
Is it Leslie?
Leslie. Leslie Bega.
Bega with a B.
B. Mm-hmm. Leslie Bega. By the way, when I saw her a couple of years ago, still just as intoxicatingly beautiful. Oh, and her lips nice. Looked great. Let me just tell you.
You have lip envy.
A little bit.
Well, there you have it. We're just going to... I feel like we're just getting started, truly. And especially because we haven't seen any episodes together.
Literally.
There's so much more to uncover. I feel like you guys are holding back, if I'm being quite honest.
I'm so excited. What?
You're holding back? I know that there's so much more juice that we need to be uncovered.
We are. We're running that. We're like podcast virgins, basically. So we're like, we are.
We're not really sure. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Like, should we go there? Should we not go there?
You have to go there. We're going there. And this is just the beginning.
You're going to have to push us to second base. Okay?
Sure will.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Are coming back to Atlanta right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB.
That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.